This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Unquiet Thoughts by The Poetics Collective is an art song recital that focuses on poetry that explores the myriad of emotions entangled in the realm of love, matters that keep us awake at night, so to speak. So this art song recital showcases a rich selection of poetry spanning millennia and continents, exploring the complexities of human connection and desire. The program includes art songs in English, Mandarin, German, Italian and French, each carefully curated to offer a diverse and immersive experience. So today on the show, I'm going to find out what's in store from Scott Wu. He is the project director of the Poetics Collective. He's also a tenor. Also with us today, Y.S. Tang, a classical guitarist who will also be performing in the show. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Welcome. We're good.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. So, you know, we've done this topic before. I know we've discussed this with you before, but just for anyone who might not be familiar with it, what are art songs? I know that they were just called songs before, of course, right, when they first came up, but now they're referred to as art songs. Can you share more?
Well, art song generally refers to the genre of music that's composed based upon poetry, and it typically refers to the music from the 18th century and beyond. But in this concert, we expand it a little bit to include music earlier from the Shakespearean time, Elizabethan lute songs as well. So essentially, it's a classical song concert.
Yeah. Okay. And because it's got poetry as well, right? So how do composers typically approach setting poetry to music in art songs? You know, how does this collaboration between text and music actually enhance that whole overall experience?
Well, good question. So usually, I mean, poetry is open to interpretation. So composers would look at poetry that speaks to them maybe at a certain period in their lives, that certain poetry speaks to them a lot. Mm-hmm. So based on that, then they compose the music to enhance the poetry, the poetic interpretation of the poetry.
Okay.
Now, the interesting part is some composers will reinforce the surface situations of the poetry, but some composers, they might have a different take, so there's a subtext to it. So depending on the composers, they can compose based on their perspective to add on another layer on the poetry.
Okay, okay. And of course, clearly, I want to say that both of you are fans of art songs.
Yes,
would I be wrong in saying that? Not
no.
at all. Yeah. What is it about art songs that you love, Tang?
Actually, I only get to know about art song quite late, thanks to the group. So because the classical guitar was not very well linked with accompaniment in this kind of musical form.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy it very much.
Okay, excellent. And I don't know if this is something that you can help me with, Scott, the historical evolution of art songs. You know, how have they been influenced by different cultural and musical movements over time?
Okay, essentially because it's based on poetry, so different languages have different angles in the way they write poetry. So currently in the modern world, the most established one would be the German variant, which is called Lieder, and as well as the French variant, which is called Melodie.
Ah.
Yeah. But the earlier variants, like during Shakespeare's time, would be the lute songs. So each language, because of how the language sounds and the temperament of the people, so you can actually hear the way the poetry is written as well as the music is composed, truly reflect that. And that's in fact what we try to deliver in this concert, a potpourri type of program. So that you can feel like you're actually traveling between country as we move through the languages.
Okay, so let's talk about that then. Yeah, so let's talk about the concept of Unquiet Thoughts and that journey and that exploration of poetry and music. Yeah, what inspired you guys to put this concert on?
Well, for us, it's mainly to this round is more like a sampler.
Okay.
Because within art song itself, the different languages are very different and the art songs are very different. So we program it as such that the audience, especially new audience, you wouldn't get too bogged down by just one variant.
Mm.
You in fact can listen to a few of the various variants. So you have the English ones, which are primarily the texts of Shakespeare's time. So during that time, the element would be melancholy. So you can get a sense of melancholy of from the poetry as well as the music. Then we move on to the Chinese one, which is using poetry that are over 3,000 years old. Let's ponder on that. 3,000 years old. So that poetry has been set to contemporary music. So in that, you will get a sense of very different vibes from the music. It's much more reserved, and the topics are also more refined in that sense. Moving on, we go to the Italian variant. I'm sure straight away you can tell it's Italian, because what do we think of when we think of Italian?
Opera?
Opera, you operatic, know, loud, yeah. Very very happy. Uh-huh. So it's much more out there slightly, so to say.
Okay.
So you can hear that in the music.
Definitely not melancholic, right?
Yeah, it's not the melancholic. So you can definitely tell the difference. And then we move on to the German one, which, what do we think about when we think about German? Much more
structured,
much more reserved as well, okay. More dignified.
Okay.
And then lastly, we go to the French. So French is all about
love.
So much more French romanticism. Uh-huh. So that's how the whole journey through the night will be.
Very nice. Okay. And what role does the accompaniment? So, you know, you mentioned that guitar, of course, wasn't part of it before, right? But how does that, but for this concert, how does that play in supporting and enhancing the vocal line in art songs?
Now, this is suddenly is a very interesting topic, because the guitar was, there was some literature for guitar as a song accompaniment, but not extensively.
Okay.
The fact is, all the pieces here in this program, none of them were composed for the guitar originally.
Oh, interesting.
So even the lute song, we have to do some adaptation from the lute to the guitar. And as for Mozart, was for mandolin. And then the other French song was originally a piano accompaniment.
Oh.
So I think the audience will, for those audience who are familiar with the original context, they may need to, you know, be a little bit open mind and be, let's see
to
what the
surprised.
Guitar can do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So Tang has to do arrangements on this music to adapt to the guitar.
Okay.
And we're very lucky to have him in the concert, because in terms of a soundscape planning, then you get a variety of sounds as well, as it's accompanied by the guitar, which is much more delicate. Intimate, delicate, and you also have the grand piano, which is a more usual accompanying instrument for that song.
Okay. And what was that process like, you know, of, you know, trying to, adapt the music, right? Oh, this.
It was painful.
His face said it, you know? Okay.
But I learned so much from the process of doing that. Yeah.
Okay. And did you work with others, or was that something that was solely kind of in your court?
Mostly for Versus and Scott's. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So painful, huh? You heard what he said, huh?
It's very worthwhile to attend, because there's a lot of work put into it.
Okay. And what was the selection process like for this, you know, really, really diverse repertoire, right? Because, I mean, how do you think each of the language kind of like contributes to the overarching theme of love, right? Love is the overarching theme, yeah.
So there are many elements of love, right? Love is not always happy. So you have the melancholy side when love is unrequited. Mm. You have the really happy, you know, like passionate, full-on romance. You also might have love that has left ahead of their time, so that sadness. And you also have that infatuation phase. So all these songs are selected to showcase all these things. So it's really on variety, and variety.
Okay.
We hope that this concert is enjoyable even to a first-time listener, and therefore there's variety in all angles.
Okay. And another highlight which you told me about is that you have a countertenor soloist for the concert,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So first, I think we need to know what is a countertenor before I move on to my second question.
So countertenor is a modern equivalent of an older times type of singer. And back then, at the time, it's popular to castrate male boys so that they don't grow into men, and they retain their boyish voice even as their body has grown. So, of course, that practice has now been forbidden. What we have left now is the modern equivalent of the countertenor. And also countertenor, in UK, they do have men who sing in similar way, but it's mainly used for church music, for choir, for choral. So in this concert, what's special is this. We have the countertenor, which is a remnants of that castrated male singers in the modern times. He'll be singing lute songs accompanied by tang, which is more fitted to the time of that music.
Okay.
However, he's also going to sing something from the 1800s. So 1800s, at that time, there's no more, probably not no more castrated males, but we're using this countertenor voice to sing the art song. And thus, again, it gives another perspective, another feeling of this music,
okay.
Variety again.
So again, you know, you're using it to kind of show that, I guess, the context, right?
Yeah.
The flexibility and also the context of the historical connotations associated with the music, right?
Yep.
And the vocal range as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
That's really interesting. And there's something else also that you mentioned, the significance of the 16th century variant air that is being used in this program.
Yeah, that would be the lute songs.
Oh,
in fact.
Okay.
Yeah. So these songs are back then, they are the pop songs of their day, so to say, singer-songwriter type.
Okay.
But the instrument that they use is a lute. Yeah, so this type of song at that time, again, the texts are, they are the contemporaries of Shakespeare.
Mm.
So there's a lot of element of melancholy, you know, those indirect way of saying things. And so the music is very intricate. And as Tang adapted to the guitar, it's very, I believe Tang would agree that the lines are very intricate. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it goes very nicely with the text.
Okay. Yep. I was just going to ask you, Tang, you know, how did you kind of balance staying faithful to those original compositions, right? While also, I guess, you know, because you had to infuse your own interpretations a little bit, right? And emotions into the performance as well?
I think for accompaniment, mostly it's depends on the singer, how she or he wants to carry it. So I'll just try to do my best and...
try to meet.
Yeah.
Meet somewhere
to,
in between.
Yeah. To help the singer to bring out what they want to express to the audience.
Okay. And
for that would be for the guitar. For the later type of variant where the piano plays a lot, in fact, slightly bigger role because the music itself is written with the piano in mind. So then the composer, sometimes they assign certain elements of expression very strongly to the piano. So in that case, then the pianist and the singer really have to come to an understanding of how are we going to take, let's say happy, what sort of happy are we talking about? Like jubilant happy or those very mild happy? Because then only it jives. If the piano is giving this sort of happy and the singer is singing the other type of happy, yes, they're happy, but they're not quite the same.
Okay, so there are all these different nuances that you really, really
yes.
need to take into account.
You have to work
account.
Together. It's a teamwork.
Okay, and how was that collaborative process between the two of you in particular, you know, when you were, I guess, refining the pieces for this recital?
Yeah, I think it was very well. I think first and foremost, because singing is the only music instrument that carries text compared to any other musical instruments. So in that sense, I will always start, at least from the singers, I will always really remind them to focus on the text and try to put your shoes in the composer's mind because the composer saw the text first before he designed the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to look at the lens of the composer, you can try to learn it from the score, but I would say a more natural way is you learn it from the text because the composer sees the text first.
Right.
So if you can put yourself in the mind of a composer, then you look at the musical scores, then things make sense.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Was that the same? Did you feel the same way as well, Tang?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
May I add something about your previous question?
Sure.
It depends also on the style of the music. For example, when we're doing 16th century music, there are musical elements such as counterpoint, clearly written even for the accompaniment.
Okay.
Those are the things that I can't skip. I have to follow exactly because those are the notes that the composer wrote to...
it's very strongly assigned.
Yeah,
so
like,
emphasis.
It's a feature.
Like a dialogue between what the singer is singing.
Okay.
There is an answering dialogue from the accompaniment for instrumental side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not a difficult task at all. What's this? it sounds amazing, guys, but really, really tough. And, you know, in terms of the songs that have chosen, any particular pieces within the repertoire that, I don't know, hold special significance to you guys personally? And if so, why? Tang, you want to go first?
Yeah, I enjoy the French art song by Reinhold Hahn. I think I pronounced his name wrongly. The R.
I can't help you there. We're all looking at Scott.
Yeah. Why? Because it was not written for the guitar. Now, what? And before I played on the guitar, I always enjoy listening it in the piano accompaniment version. So I'm just so thrilled and happy to be making music with the talented singers here. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And for you, Scott, before I ask you about the singers, any particular piece that's, you know, really special to you?
The Pandrine piece, in fact, the ones with the text, the oldest text, the 3,000-year-old from the Shi Jing.
Yeah.
So the poetry of that piece of poetry, in fact, a lot of the text has been used as common days, like, how do we call it? Like sayings. It's quoted from that particular poetry, so it's a very established poetry in the Chinese language.
Okay.
And then to see it come to life in music, and the music was composed fairly recently in the past 60-80 years.
Okay.
So it's modern music. So you see how the 3,000-year-old text come alive with a modern music.
Nice.
And it's still fitting very well. So I think that's particularly my, like, it's called Quan Ju. So it talks about this osprey. So osprey mate for life. So that gives you a bit of undertone of what it's talking about.
Okay. That kind of love that we're talking about. Okay. And let's talk a little bit about some of the other performers that are going to be on stage with you guys. Who have you got? Who else have you got, you know, with you?
We have Charlene, soprano.
Yeah.
We have Chu Siyun, soprano. We have Tunku Atira, soprano, and Asha Menon, also soprano.
Okay.
So I'm the tenor. And then just now we mentioned about counter tenor, which is Daryl Chan. I believe he was here before as well.
Yes.
And from the instrumentalist side, we have Tang on the guitar. And on the piano, we have Joey, as well as Daryl. He's also singing and playing.
Okay.
So yeah, multi-talented.
Multi-talented. And small tight group, isn't it? Not too
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, Okay. Pretty small.
Okay. But again, you said this is more of a taster, so hopefully there's going to be other performances coming up in the year, maybe?
Yeah, so we have another one coming up in August, and it will focus on the German variant Lieder.
Okay, so this is really a great one to experience all the different ones that are there, right? And for you guys, you know, what would you say you find most rewarding about performing art songs? You know, particularly in a setting like this, in Unquiet Thoughts, where you get to sample and try so many different styles, you know? Tang?
I certainly hope that the audience will have... we hope that this program will intrigue the interest of the audience, and hopefully they will find... How do I put it? Hopefully they will have interest in finding more classical music.
Yeah. And who knows which genre they might actually go for, right? They might have a particular favorite. This is a great way to find out.
I think many of the audience just need more exposure to the classical music in general, be it art song or any solo music.
Okay, so this is, again, a great space to do it. Scott, you know, for you, anything that you hope, you know, or what is most rewarding for you, you know, putting up a performance like this?
The most rewarding would be, like, I feel that we are offering an option to the society that we live in.
Mm.
So this is definitely not mainstream. And I think I feel like it's a calling, it's a function to continue to provide this option for the public. Because, again, exposure really hits the spot. So we have to keep on providing, so then there is a chance for audience to get exposed to. And who knows, they might like it a lot.
Yeah.
And this sort of poetry, music, they are fine literature and fine arts. So in a busy, busy life, I always think sometimes take a pause and enjoy a bit of refinement. It's good for our mind and soul.
100%. And I always love, you know, speaking to you guys, because you always offer something that we don't really get a lot of here in the Klang Valley and in Malaysia as well. So guys, you know, it is a one night only performance. It's happening on the 27th of April at 8 p.m. It's happening over at the Malaysia Institute of Art, or MIA City Campus, which is in Dang Wangi. And tickets are priced at a very reasonable 60 ringgit for standard tickets and 45 ringgit for students, which you can purchase at cloudjoy.com. But now quiz time. Scott and team have kindly offered one pair of tickets to one lucky listener. As always, you just need to answer a very, very simple question correctly. What types of songs will be presented at Unquiet Thoughts? Is it A, reggae songs, or B, art songs? Send me the correct answer, your full name and your email address via a WhatsApp message to 018-789-8899. And if you hear back from the producers, you are that lucky winner. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. Any concluding message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Put the time aside and come and experience art song.
Thank you.
My thanks to both of you. I was speaking to Scott Wu, tenor, project director of the Poetics Collective, and YS Tang, classical guitarist. We were talking about the art song recital called Unquiet Thoughts. If you'd like to find out more, you can always follow the Poetics Collective on Instagram, or you can head to their website, which is versuspj.com. But if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/front-row. You can also find it on the BFM app. This has been Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.